I'm okay. I don't remember who I was talking to. I was talking to somebody before church, and I said, the first time I ever preached, I was 13 years old. I never thought I'd be more nervous than that. And then I said, the day I proposed to my wife, I never thought I'd be more nervous than that. And then my ordination came, and I was like, man, this is rough. So all three of those days, I can give you every detail of what I did that day, because it's burned into my mind, but I'm very thankful for this opportunity. I want to say that this is not something that I take lightly. This is not something that I think is just I deserve. It's not something that I think this is what it just needs to be done. I understand what it is. I understand it's my church saying that they support me. Amen. You know, I don't even deserve to be behind the pulpit, let alone ordained or working with youth or doing any of that. I don't deserve that. I'm going to give my testimony, and I just know every bit of my testimony is God. It's all God, and I just want to thank the church for allowing me to do this. I know it's pastor who said that I could do it, but, I mean, the church, you allow me to do it just as much as he does, and I appreciate that, and I thank you, and I want you to know that I care about these teenagers, and I just want what's best for them, and I want to see them succeed, and I'll do whatever it takes on my behalf to see that happen. And I'm going to fail, and I'm going to mess up a lot. I'm an idiot, and I'm 25, and there are things that I don't know. And I'm going to mess up. But if you just have patience with me, I promise I'm praying and I'm reading my Bible, but I'm just trying. Amen. And the Lord will help me. And I thank you guys for being patient with me. But so to give my testimony, we started coming here when I was 2. My parents started coming here, and it started with Aunt April getting saved, and then thankfully salvation came through my whole family through that, and I believe it was Ruth that led you to the Lord, at least got you in church. And from there, I mean, that was, by the way, that was a teenager in school standing up for what's right. Because of that, a family got saved. And so you just don't know what's going to happen. And so Aunt April got in, and because of her getting in, Nana, Papa, my mom, you know, right down the line, my dad, all of them started getting to Faith Baptist Church. They all got saved, and God changed our family. And so at 2 years old, we started coming here. I grew up here, moved to Florida for a little while, but then we came back. So basically my whole life has been at Faith Baptist Church. And I remember at 5 years old, you know, I knew about salvation from growing up here. I knew that if I died, I'd go to hell and all that stuff. And I remember my mom, she came. I still remember it very clearly. We were in a trailer in the woods in Blackiston. I remember we were sitting there, I was watching TV, and I had the little green TV stand that's like this big, but for little kids, you just put it over your lap, and that's how I was eating. And my mom, you know, she was a good mom. She was just worried about my salvation. She just walked in, and she said, "Hey, are you saved?" And I knew I wasn't saved, but I didn't quite understand salvation yet. And I said, "No, I'm not saved." And she said, "Well, do you want to get saved?" And of course, I want to get saved. I knew what that meant. And so, you know, I told her yes. And my mom, you know, led me through the sinner's prayer, all that stuff. And, you know, it was great and all that. And we, you know, thought I was saved. But 5 years goes by, I'm 10 years old, and I get to go to teen camp in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, because Nana was the cook. And so I got benefits because Nana was here. So I was privileged, Brother Ken. So, and so I got to go to teen camp, and thank God I did, because that's the teen camp. I wasn't allowed to do anything back then, because this is before Israel grew up. Once Israel grew up, kids were allowed to do stuff, but back then, we weren't allowed to do anything. So, but you know, and so anyway, we were there, and I got to sit in the services, and I remember Mike Easter got behind the pulpit, and he preached on hell, and the whole time he was preaching, God said, "You're not saved. You're not saved." And I kept thinking, you know, well, I said this, but God said, "You're not saved, and you died right now, and you go to hell." And so I knew that, and thankfully God had mercy on me the rest of that week. It sat with me the whole week, and I made it back here, and it was a Sunday night. I remember driving back from Sunday night service with my mom and just started crying and said, "Mom, I don't think I'm saved." And this is when George was living right down the road in that trailer by Nana's house. And so thankfully, you know, she said, "Do you want to call George?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And so I called him, and I don't think he understood a word I said. I was like, he was like, "Do you want me to bring my Bible?" "Yes." So like, that's what he got out of it. And so he came to Nana's house, and we sat right on the swing there. And I already knew what to do. I've grown up here. I just, you know, wanted to, I guess, hear it from him, I guess. And And so I got saved there, and that's the day I got saved, and I know I got saved. And that was July 25th, 2004, 8:15 p.m. on a Sunday night. And the reason I know that is because George Mitchell led me to the Lord. And so he said, you got to memorize the date and the time. Here you go. So, and I thank God he did that, because now I can know the exact minute that God came into my heart. And so I got saved that day at 10 years old, and it's such a blessing, because I never knew that, you know, I would be able to serve in the ministry with the man who led me to the Lord. Like, that's such an honor that I got to do that. I know a lot of people don't get to experience that, but I got to. And so that was 10. We moved to Florida that same year. My dad went to PBI there and then came back when I was 13 and got to go into the youth group. And I thank God for that, because in Florida, you know, there wasn't the best people that we were being around, so I just believe that would have affected me a little bit different. But I think God saw fit that I come back to Faith Baptist and be in the youth group with Brother Samson as a youth pastor. And Brother Samson invested so much in me. He really did. He took time out of his day to help me and teach me, and I owe a lot to him, and I love him. And because just the way he, you know, a lot of people are say that he didn't do things right and certain things right, but it worked for me. Everything he did definitely worked for me, and it got me to think about God. And you know, if I was wrong about something, he'd preach about it on Sunday, and I got right. I mean, that's just the way it worked. And so, and I thank God for those things. So at 13, I got called to preach. We went to the blowout to hear Pastor Ryman preach, and it was through there that I got called to preach. And I came back that next Sunday and said, Pastor, I feel like I'm called to preach. And he's, all right, Sunday night you're preaching. So I was like, okay, cool. So that's how that worked, and I got to preach Sunday night. And thank God for that opportunity that Pastor gives us young guys to learn how to preach and things like that. There's a lot of my friends who never got the opportunity to even learn how to preach because they never had a pastor who led them. And so that's a blessing to me. And so I go through my teenage years, and a lot of the way I explain it is I wanted to serve the Lord, but I really wanted to serve my flesh too. And I just had a lot of stupid things that I did after salvation. I regret saying that's not something I say in pride. It's not something I say, like, you know, look what I did. It was so stupid of me, because I try to tell teenagers, if you would just surrender at a young age and do right at a young age, you'll have no scars, no regrets, and you can just make it. I mean, God will use you in such a mighty way if you'll just surrender at a young age. But like I said, I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to do the things, but I wanted to please myself just as much, so I did some really stupid stuff. But I remember at 17 years old, about to turn 18, it was the last teen camp that I actually went to in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I remember I was so mad at God at the time because, you know, some things in my life were going on that I didn't think were fair, that I didn't think, you know, God was treating me right. You know, that's how we get when we're in our sin and we're being stupid. We think, you know, God's not fair to us. And I remember literally laying in my bed one night saying, God, you just lost yourself a preacher. Like, what am I? You know, that's how much pride and arrogancy that I had at the time to think that I was something that God needed. And I said, God, you just lost yourself a preacher, like I was telling God something. And I remember going to teen camp that year, and a couple got up and started singing Field of Grace. And in that song, it says, only a little while ago, I told them I was through. And as soon as they sang that part, God came down right to where I was, and he said, are you still done? Because I'm not done with you. And I remember going to that altar, and I could take you to the place. I mean, we talk about our Bethels and our face-to-face to God with moment, and I can take you to the steps on the left side of that stage where I knelt down in tears and wept and said, God, I'm not getting up until you change my life. And that's the service that God changed my life forever. I surrendered then. I'm not saying I was perfect then. I'm not saying I didn't mess up since then, but that's the service that I surrendered my life and said, God, I'm all yours, whatever you want me to do. And so we went through that, and I surrendered my life at that point. Came back, and about a couple months later, after turning 18, we had our youth rally here, and I remember Pastor Massa came to preach that. It was the year that we had the King James Bible, Nothing Like It, I believe is what it was called, and we had that theme, and he came to preach, and while he was preaching, the Lord just kept tugging on my heart, you need to go to Connecticut, you need to go to Connecticut, you need to go there. And I don't know 100% why. I believe that God wanted me to go there for a reason. I believe he wanted to show me some things. It was kind of like the way I kind of attested is the stupid things I did as a teenager. A lot of people it was fresh in their minds. They remembered that. And so I kind of think God used that opportunity, kind of like when Saul left for 3 years and then came back as Paul. I kind of believe that's kind of what the Lord wanted for me. I believe he wanted me just to go to Landmark, where I learned some things from behind the scenes in the ministry. I learned some things from Pastor Massa that greatly helped me. Just not even just my Bible. I learned a lot of Bible there, of course, but a lot of things about the ministry and the way it worked. And so I was there for 4 years, and while I was there, you know, I was content with being there as long as God wanted me to be. But in 2004, 2014, God started tugging on my heart through a message from Brother Charlie Clark. He actually was preaching, and he said, you know, all these young guys, they their church sends them out, they go to Bible school, they go wherever, and they forget about the pastor at home who trained them. And they forget about the one who invested the most time in them. And when he preached that, God tugged at my heart and said, you at least owe Pastor Ryman some years. And I just really felt that. And so I called Pastor Ryman and said, I feel like I'm getting called back. And of course, he said, you know, come on back. And so that's kind of how that happened for me, is I just, you know, I prayed about it, looked for some scripture, and God gave me all three things I prayed about. And I said, so I knew it was time to come back. And around that same time, one of the things I was praying for was confirmation, not just pastor saying, yeah, come on back. But I was like, Lord, I need something. This is, you know, when you're moving, when it's such a big decision, I'm like, if I make the wrong decision, it can mess up everything. And so I said, Lord, I just need something. I need it confirmed. And at that time, George called me. He was a youth pastor or youth director. I don't think he had got voted a youth pastor yet, but he was still working with the teens. And he called me and said, you know, if you do move back, I could really use some help with some teens. And so I said, all right. And that was kind of God. As soon as he said it, it just clicked. I was like, I think that's what the Lord wants me to do. And I mean, little did we know God was setting this whole thing up. I mean, we had no idea. And so I came here, and I was here for about a year helping Brother George. And he had me teaching the teens once a month. Once a month I was teaching. And so I was getting involved with everything, helping with all the activities. And then when George passed away, I mean, of course, none of us saw that coming. It was, I'm not saying it was an easy transition, but it was already, the Lord had it set up to where I was already there once a month helping. The teens already knew me. And so it just kind of happened that way. And like I said, I told Pastor, I said, Pastor, I don't know what your plan is. I said, but for the time being, you know, with while you're doing whatever you want to do, I'm available to at least help and try to stand in the gap. And 2 years later, this is where we're at. And so I just, and it's something I prayed about. One thing I want to mention about the evangelism, because a lot of people bring that up, is I thought you were called to be an evangelist. That's something, it's kind of like, you know, he desired office of a bishop, desired the good thing. And so I was just praying about what God wanted me to do. And I really just wanted to do something, anything that God wanted me to do. And that is something that was on my heart. But even George knew this, and I talked about him. I said, you know, I think maybe evangelism. I said, but no matter what I do, and I've even told my mom this years ago, I said, no matter what I do, I feel like I'm called to youth. I feel like I'm called to church kids. That's my testimony. I grew up in church. I know what they're going through. I know what's in their mind. I know how they're acting. I know what they're thinking. I said, I believe that I could be used to help that because of my experience as a teenager and what I went through. I said, I think I can just use maybe even a little bit of what I know and what God has shown me through his word and just try to help teenagers. So I've always thought that it would be teenagers. I just thought maybe in an evangelist role. And I still believe, I mean, even as a youth pastor, I believe I can still do things as an evangelist, whether it go like I'm going to Charlestown and preaching this Friday or Saturday. And so little things like that. But that's just where my heart is. I want my church to know where my heart's at with that, that I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do, but I know for a fact that I'm doing what God wants me to do. I know that, and I know that God's called me to do this, and I've same thing, asked for confirmation just like everything else, and God's confirmed it time after time that I'm doing what God wants me to do. So that's where I'm at now. It's just my heart is to help that man right there, whatever he wants me to do. If he told me, you're not the youth pastor anymore, I want you to do this, I'm going to say, yes, sir, and I'm just going to help him with whatever he needs because that's my calling. And so that's where I'm at, and I want to be a help to Faith Baptist Church, and as long as I'm with the teens, I want to help the teens as much as I can. So that's my testimony.
Jesse, I want you to be able to ask questions too, Jesse. Why don't you ask the first question?
Because you need the mic there, so they're going to be
on the mic. You come out far.
Really, I don't have a question so much as a statement, and that's that Pastor's right. I kind of think if you're on an ordination panel, you ought to more be giving advice rather than asking a bunch of questions. And I know where Michael Shane's doctrinal stand is. I know he believes in the flat earth and the mid-trib rapture and all those good, tasty things of false doctrine. No, I'm kidding. But I can't stress the importance enough, like Pastor was saying, about serving in your church. I remember 3 years after I came here, I came to Pastor and I said, man, I want to go into evangelism. I feel like the Lord wants me in it. And Pastor said, well, you have my blessing. He said, but you need to serve here for a while. And he said, I'll let you go one Sunday a month. He said, but you need to be faithful here. And it was the best advice I ever got. If Pastor never gave me another piece of advice, that was it. And he's given me plenty. But be faithful here a while. Maybe the Lord did put the desire in your heart for evangelism someday. But this is your proving ground. And let me just ask you this one question. You talked about being called to be an evangelist or to be a minister to church kids.
Yes, sir.
What about the kids who come in that have nothing? Can you relate to them? Can you minister? I mean, you were a church kid. I was a church kid. Right. And I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it is hard for me. And like Pastor always tells me, he said, you can't be so critical of these people. They didn't have what you had. And are you willing to meet them halfway and find the balance?
Sure. To answer that question the best I can, a little bit of my testimony with, you know, my parents. One thing, because of things that decisions they made when they were younger, I mean, they all got right, thankfully, but I've seen a lot of things that a lot of church kids probably haven't seen in the home and things like that.
Yep.
And so I can relate a little bit to what goes on with different parents and things like that. And not only that, but working in the school, you guys know I work in a school, I believe the Lord has me there for a reason, because I deal with kids now that come from nothing. I mean, just, you know, like that little girl, Skylar, I think, who said, you know, what she said, I see kids all the time now who don't know who mom and dad is, don't, you know, that's just normal life for them. And so even though I didn't have that, I'm at least working with it enough that I can start, Lord's giving me things and trying to help me and show me things to give me wisdom in that regard on how to, if not relate, at least do everything I can, at least give them Bible on something. If there's something that I just, I'll have to admit sometimes, you know, I don't know how to relate to that. But what I do know is the Bible says this.
Amen.
And you know, I can
Amen.
Say, you know, when your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord will take you. I can give them promises that God had in his word. And so that's the best I can do. It might not be the best all the time, but it's the best I can do.
That's good enough. That's all I got.
Michael Shane.
Sir.
I've known you since you was in kiddie camp. I know your heart. I know you're honest. I have one question for you.
Sir.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl? No. I want to know your consensus on the full gospel.
What's that?
What do you think? What is in the full gospel?
The full gospel? 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, this is the Bible description of it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scripture.
Amen.
That is the gospel.
Amen. Amen. If I was to give you any advice, this is my advice to you. If you get in a jam to where you can't find the answer in the Bible, make sure you seek wise counsel.
Yes, sir.
Talk to the pastor. Talk to some of the men here that's been to Bible school. And talk to several people. And get a sense of what they're all saying. And most of the time, you can't go wrong.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Brother, what do you believe about the blood of Jesus? Give us some verses on it.
Yes, sir. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So it's the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for our salvation. 1 John 1:7. I could have quoted that before I got up here just now. Hold on. 1 John 1:7. Turn there so I don't mess it up. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is what atones us from our sins.
Amen. 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 Oh, amen. I just want to say first off that, you know, I'm honored to be a part of this in your life. Your family has been on my heart for a long time. Your mom and your dad and you and your sister. And I think you have deserved a chance to be there, to be ordained and to do what you're doing. I just wanted to say that. So I did a little research on kind of what the point of an ordination is, being the youngest man on the panel, I think, closest to Ken, I guess. But basically it says this, that it's to recognize and confirm that an individual has been called by God to the ministry. Secondly, it acknowledges that the individual has gone through a period of discernment and training related to his call. And thirdly, that he authorizes in the eyes of man that the angel can take the place of the office of ministry. You spoke to us a little bit, but to that point, the second point, how do you feel you've prepared yourself for this work and for what God might have for you, whatever it may be, going forward?
So when I went to Connecticut, I did go to Bible school. I've told people I would have finished it if that's what God wanted me to do. It was not a 3-year program. It was more like a 25-year program. But if the Lord wanted me to do it, I would have done it. And I mean that. It wasn't, you know, this is going too long, so I'm coming home. But in that time, I got some of the best teaching that I think you can get. I mean, I didn't go under doctrine or anything like that, but Pastor Massa really knew his Bible and was one of the best teachers I've ever heard. And so he really taught me a lot of things. And like I said, more than just the Bible, I believe what I got from Landmark Baptist Church in a whole was some things behind the look of the ministry and how to handle certain things and see certain things. And I got to work with the youth there as well and work under their youth pastor, Brother Axel Trepovich. And so I got to, you know, through time, deal with teenagers and work with teenagers even when I had no idea that this is what I'd be doing. But the Lord was preparing me, I believe. And then, like I said, life experience, things that just happen in life that I think can prepare me for certain teenagers. And then my own studying of the Word of God. Just I will say this, since I've become the Sunday school teacher over there, I think I've learned more in Sunday school than I ever did in Bible school, because it's my own taking the Word of God and studying it and trying to figure things out for myself, why I believe what I believe. And you know what you believe because you hear it, but when you see it for yourself in the Word of God, it kind of just grounds you and confirms you, like, this is what I believe, because I saw it for myself. And so I'll say studying the Word of God on my own really is probably what prepared me the most.
Doing okay up there?
Yeah, so
remember
far.
To breathe, okay? All right. I had a half a dozen questions written down. You pretty much answered most of them.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I want to say thank you for what you are doing. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate you working with the kids on Wednesday night. That means a lot to me because it affects my granddaughters. So it's very close to my heart, and I do appreciate you working over there doing that.
Thank you.
And someday those kids are all going to grow up, and they're going to move over to be in your group.
Sir.
So you're going to see them for a long time. And I think that's important. But because of you got Sunday school, you got the teen group, you also have what's going on over there on Wednesday nights. We have 3 services per week, and it seems to me you're probably only really getting one, which would be Sunday night. You get Sunday morning, too, but really for Sunday night, you're really here, because I'm sure Sunday morning you're pretty much frazzled after messing with the kids and everything. So because you might be a little bit more lacking than some of us that get to sit here all the time, what motivates you and what keeps you going?
I would say just... I don't want to answer the same question again with the same answer, but definitely teaching the teenagers. I mean, I have to keep myself at a level where, you know, I don't know what they're going to ask me. I mean, Earl's in my class. I have no idea what's going to be asked on any given Sunday. So, I mean, there are times he asks random things, and I'm just like, man, you're ready to give an answer to every man, right? So, you know, who knows who he was talking to that week? So it's just, you know, I guess it's just that I'm trying to be the best I can be, because I, you know, I owe it to the teenagers to be the best I can be. And so I try to study, I watch things, you know, different preachers, preaching videos, things like that. You know, if Brother Ken or another brother in church says, hey, Wednesday night this so-and-so taught, and you know, you need to listen to it, I try to go on the website and listen to it, so I do try to keep up with it on the stuff I miss. So, but it's definitely my motivation would be just trying to be my best, so I try to keep studied up so I'm fresh.
That's good. Thank you. Also, working with the kids is really difficult. Actually, working with people is difficult.
Yes, sir.
And you're always going to have some young person who's, I would say, continuously sin, time and time again. No matter what you say, no matter what you preach, no matter how you talk, they're always going to keep getting themselves in the same trouble and the same things. How would you show mercy and grace to those individuals until you could maybe get them up to speed and get them to see what's right?
Well, in that regard, I'd have to use my pastor's example, who constantly has showed me grace and mercy over and over and over again. And there are times, and we've all known it, where we see people and we're just like, oh, why is there not judgment, you know? And sometimes you just got to think, you know, I don't deserve to be here either. And you know, somebody had to have patience with me. And so in that regard, I've dealt with that a little bit, but not much. But with the little bit that I have dealt with it, I just, anytime they have a question, anytime they come back, it could be a month, it could be whatever, it could be the same exact situation that goes on and on and on, I'm still going to say, all right, I'm praying for you. Let's get back and let's do it again and try to give them verses, try to help them the best I can.
So. Brother Michael Shane, I'm not going to ask you any deep doctrinal things. I know where you stand on pretty much everything. Spend time with you. I'm not worried about any of that. So I'm going to do a few things a little different. First, I'm going to ask you a question. Working with the teens, just from being a member of this church for 16 or 17 years, however, 100 years it's been, the biggest obstacle you're going to have to most teens doing right after their flesh is their parents and some of the influences in church, some of the fakes we have. As someone who's going to be dealing with the teens, I don't know if there's a correct answer for this, but it's something that it bothers me a lot. What can a youth pastor or a pastor do to try to show someone it's real and help them when it's not real at home and it's only real to some people on Sunday morning?
In that regard, I do have some teenagers who I would say are in that category. And the biggest thing that I try to push with all the teenagers is I say you can't have a crutch. You cannot have a crutch. It's very easy, and I've seen it in my own life or in teenagers' lives or in grown men and grown women's lives. So they say, you know, I would serve God more if this didn't happen, if this wasn't here, if this wasn't here. And in a teenager's life who has that maybe hypocritical parent or parent who's just not saved, not in church, that's not your crutch. That's God. God has put us all in a place where he knew we could thrive. He didn't. I mean, my wife was born in a home of a pastor, you know, and grew up knowing the Bible, knowing the truth, knowing what's right and what's wrong. And as far as I know, I'm sure he had his moments, but he wasn't a hypocrite as much as other parents. He tried his best. And, you know, I didn't grow up in that, and I grew up in a different housing, but, you know, I am under the firm belief that if we switch places, I wouldn't have made it, neither would she. If I grew up in a house of a pastor, I'd probably grow up and been a rebellious teenager, not want any of it. And if she grew up in my kind of household, she would have never even wanted church. You know, because I believe the Lord gives you exactly what you can handle and what's going to put you in a place to seek him. And so I believe that, and I believe that God did not say, oops, I'm sorry I gave you bad parents. He knew exactly what you're going to be born to, and he said, I'm here for you if you want me.
Amen.
And so I would try my best to do that. And I would definitely, to add to that, I would show them 1 Corinthians, just add a verse to that. I'm sorry, Romans 14. Sorry about that. Verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And so I would just try to drive the point home that, like Pastor says it all the time, when it's you and God, it's you and God. And he's not going to take, well, you know, you gave me bad parents, or you gave me a mom and dad who didn't want to do right. No, he gave you exactly what you needed, and he gave you a word, so you can make it through it if you just stay in the Bible, stay praying. And as a youth pastor myself, I'm going to do my best to be a good example to them. I'll try to help them. But I will never get into a place that if a parent says something, it's not my place to, well, I don't care what your mom and dad said. That's not my place. And so what I would do is just try to give them the Bible.
Amen.
And help them the best I can to make their own good decisions on how to serve God.
Amen.
So I've got another one. I don't think your wife would do this, but people in the church tell you A, your wife tells you B, and you believe the Word of God says C. What are you going to go with?
I mean, it's easy to say I'm going to go with the Word of God, and I know that's the right answer.
Well, I'd like you to say it publicly, too. So.
But I do believe in my heart that I would go with the Word of God. I'm hoping that situation doesn't come up. I'm sure it will. But I'm going to go with the Word of God. And as for my wife, I'm going to trust that she's prayed up and she's in her Bible, so she also knows what option C is.
Amen.
And if she doesn't, I know for a fact she's at least listened to me. And I'm going to say, baby, I know, but I've been praying about this, and this is what the Bible showed me. And I'll use the word baby. And then I know her heart. I know she'll say whatever you want.
This is my last thing. Doc always told us to be ready to preach, pray, or perish. You gave your testimony, you're saved, so you're ready to die.
Mm.
You believe in hell. I know you believe in hell. If you're looking around, do you see any faces you're unsure of or people you're not sure if they're saved? You've got 2 minutes. We're all going to die. Can you preach for 2 minutes and give me the gospel clearly?
So turn to Romans. You're in Romans, so just go ahead down to chapter 3. Romans 3:23. Romans 3. I'm in 2. That's why that makes sense. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all have sinned. All means all here. We're not like Calvinists and things like that where we take the word all and throw it away. All have sinned. Everyone who was born with a sin nature. Everyone messes up. Everybody's broken a law. And so all are sinners. And then Romans 6. 23, for the wages of sin is death. All right, so because of your sin, because of the sin you were born with, your sin nature, and because of you disobeying God, the wages of those sin, that payment is going to be death every time. And that's going to be physical death one day. All of us will die one day because of sin. Adam brought sin into the world, and through sin, death. And so all of us will die one day. But also this is talking about spiritual death. And so we know that there's a second death. And if you're not found written in the book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so we know that the payment for our sin is hell, even though it was not prepared for us. And so, but it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God knew that we could never pay for our own sins. He knew that we would never be good enough. And so he sent his son to die for us and become the payment for our sins. And so he died while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And then Romans chapter number 10, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, if you believe that you're a sinner and that he was the payment, then Romans chapter number 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you know you're a sinner, you know you deserve hell, and you know that Jesus Christ came and died for you and paid that sin debt, then simply all you have to do is accept it and call upon him and you will be saved.
Amen. Well, if I can give you some advice, is don't be last, because your question
gets asked.
Sure. Even your backup question. So they ask a question in probably a couple of different ways about dealing with the youth. Let me word it a different way. Say you have a child that knows how to play the part to be a Christian and is grown up in church, as you have. You've grown up with a lot of the other adults now that are in here. How do you deal with somebody when you feel they're coming across as they're playing church?
Well, as someone who played church for a lot of years, it comes down to I usually can spot it. I'm sure I'll be fooled, and I'm sure you know there's going to be some kid who comes along one day who will completely fool me. But most of the time, I'd say I can say, hey, you know what? I don't think he's all there. There's just certain tells. There's certain things that they do, certain maybe liking attention, things like that, where he makes you a red flag kind of just, you know, I think they're playing church a little bit. And I think they're saying all the right things just because that's what they want to hear. And in that regard, I personally have not gone up to one and said, hey, and if I had to, I would. If I had to, you know, if it went so long usually, so let me start how I deal with it first. A lot of times what I do, if I see something, I pray about it first. I don't just go and teach on it, but I'll pray about it. I'll say, Lord, if you want me to mention this Sunday school, I will. And so usually what I'll do is I'll in my normal lesson, or I'll get a lesson together, and I'll preach on that thing. And because it's my hope that this says a whole lot more than I ever will.
Amen.
And so what I do is I try to get the word of God to them first. Whether I know it's their issue or not, I just pray that, Lord, send this where it needs to go. And I pray that it gets them, hopefully. Hopefully the word of God will help them and convict them. But then if that didn't work, you know, I mean, it would work. They would get convicted. I'm not saying it wouldn't work. But if they refused that conviction and wanted to keep playing church, then if I had to sit them down and say something, I would try. I would just say, listen, you know, I love you. But I think you're playing a little bit, and I think it's time to get serious. And so if that's what I had to do, I would do that.
Yeah, I have no great advice for you other than stick with the book. I mean, I've watched you grow up myself also, so I'm pretty sure I know where you stand as well. So
thank you.
Anybody else?
Can I get a follow-up question, Richard?
Yeah. Anyone follow-up?
Sir.
All right. So just one follow-up question is, and that's this. You came back from Bible school. We all understood why you did. Your father passed away, and you wanted to help your mom out and stuff like that, and that's admirable. But you also said at the time that you wanted to continue your Bible education. And the only reason I ask you this is because when we were in Bible school, Dr. Ruckman always told us to finish.
Yes, sir.
He always told us to finish. What's your plans for finishing out a Bible education? Now, let me qualify that. I realize a degree doesn't hold really a whole lot of weight. I have a degree, and I don't even know where it is. But what's your plans on continuing your Bible education or continuing your education to work with teens or any of that kind of stuff?
So one thing that is accessible is to get like the online correspondence and things like that. Just to be blatantly honest, it's very hard for me to do correspondence. I'm not built that way. I don't have the, I mean, I do. I never say I don't have. If I make myself do anything, I can do anything. But I don't like to make myself sit down and just listen to this correspondence, take my notes. So one thing that, you know, it kind of goes back, I think I already answered one of the questions. One thing I'm trying to do myself, just to make sure I understand doctrine, things like that, I study things myself, but I understand sometimes it's, you know, if I don't understand something, even studying myself, if I can't get from point A to point B, then I'm going to need some help with that. So, I try to read things. I try to read books that other men have offered to me and not just take that as this is not the gospel because this person said it. But I at least will take something, and then I'll study. And then using those tools, I can now study it myself and try to figure out what the Lord would have for me. So, but I mean, I don't know if that's the answer you wanted, but that's the best way I can answer it. I'm trying to further my own education just
right.
by trying to
well,
stay studying.
The only thing that concerns me is we've got young men who are in Bible school or want to go to Bible school, and they'll look up to you and say, well, he dropped out and he never finished. When it might be someone else's, you know, needs to finish.
Right.
Okay. When I was in Bible college, I fought tooth and nail to quit. I didn't want to be there. I would put my feet on the floor every morning and say, what in the world am I doing here?
Yes, sir.
I hated Pensacola. I hated the weather. I didn't even like the church. I didn't like nothing about it. But I knew God had me there. And I told several people that I wanted to quit, including Pastor Brother Mark McGahey, my former youth pastor Phil Seeley, and they all talked me off the ledge. They all talked me into finishing. So I'm just saying, what would you say to one of your young guys that said, well, you dropped out and you never finished, so it's, you know, I don't need it either?
Well, in that regard, to be honest, I kind of alluded to this when I was giving the testimony. I believe I was called to Landmark to learn,
to be the pastor there.
No, but I never felt I was called. Like, you know, some people say I'm called to go to Bible school. I went there and there was a Bible school, but I felt like I was called just to be there for what and do the Bible school because that was available. But I never thought that my calling was to go straight to just I need to go to Bible school. So I wish I would have finished it. Like I said, I wish I would have went all the way. If it was shorter, I would have. But the Lord called me back at the time when I was still in the middle of it. And so I do believe I did what the Lord wanted me to do with that regard. But if it comes to talking to an actual person, if they truly believe that they were called to do it, then I'm going to do everything in my power to push them to keep doing it. And I'm going to say, don't quit. And to be quite frank, you won't be up here in an opportunity with someone asking you, why'd you quit? And I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but avoid that. You know, just keep going, finish it, because God doesn't want you to finish. And so it's something I wish I could have finished, wish I could have had the degree to show, but I would tell someone, I'd push them to keep going if they could.
Fair enough.
Yes, sir.
I was going to open up to the congregation, but
time's going by so fast here. We got a lot, the time is hindering us. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Timothy just for a few minutes. There's 12 charges that God or Timothy has received from Paul. And a charge, we call this a charge. And what it is charging him to be faithful, preach the word, and we're also going to lay hands on him. And the Bible tells us not to lay hands on any man suddenly. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you look at verse 22, back up to verse 21, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, every drunk knows what that verse is. But this, that's talking about, sickness. You take medication, you NyQuil, that kind of thing. But that's what that was. But it says, lay hands on suddenly on no man. If you would, take your Bible, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just give you a little briefing. Paul's instructing Timothy to be a good soldier. And I believe the ministry, a lot of times we don't have soldiers that, like the Bible says, we ought to be. They're more looking for a career, and the guys are not really called to be a soldier. And if you're in this room, you're saved, you're called to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we sing that song, Onward Christian Soldiers. They're not a soldier goes through hardships. A soldier will have to be out in the snow and rain and go through all kinds of hardship, fearful things, and just a hard time if he's in battle. And there's times where you're a parade soldier. You're marching along and everything looks good. You got the uniform. This is not just about a uniform. Amen. This is about the real deal. And this ministry, this is a real deal, man, because there's going to be hardships on your family, on your own self. It's going to be choices being made. And you always got to make choices towards what God wants you to do and rather than what the money. I've had churches call me, offer me big money, bigger churches, all that stuff. I said, God didn't, I'm not a hireling. A preacher, a man's called to preach, he's not a hireling. He's not supposed to go out for the bigger dollars and look at, this and that. He's not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be faithful until the Lord calls you to do something else. I've been here 31 years, my wife even asked me one time when our house burnt down, we had lost everything. I'm staying out there. We had no insurance, no nothing, and we had to live here in the basement of the church. She said, what is God calling you, in evangelism? My son had a heart problem. My daughter had a stomach problem and all this stuff. She said, what is God calling you? I said, no, we're right where we're supposed to be. In the middle of the storm, we're supposed to be right here. And I knew that. And a soldier doesn't run from the battle, a good soldier. He's not a conscientious objector. He doesn't, say, well, they ain't my problem. I'm going to get out of here. A lot of guys will be willing to preach as long as the income's good. As long as everything looks good, as long as the church is big. I've had guys call me up and said, Brother Ryman, hey, if there's a church calls you, a big church, how about let me know? Because I want a full-time position. I'd never call them. Why? There's a hireling. somebody trying to get a position and somebody trying to get just recognition so they can be in a big church or, you know, have a big salary. That's not what the ministry is about. The ministry is not about that at all. So Paul is instructing Timothy. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. I believe Michael Shane is faithful.
Amen.
I believe he's a faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. And that's what as a pastor, and you're supposed to be a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, like he said, do the work of an evangelist and a teacher. And that's what he's doing. And he's not pastoring the church. He's just going to be a youth director, youth pastor. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. A youth pastor has it hard. Like I said, he's in between the parents and the church and the pastor and the kid. And Samson's come to me many times. I've had to tell him, no, just pray and keep your mouth shut. And I've had to tell him, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. He was just mad about everything, you know, about the parents. And he said, the parents is the ones that's hindering things. That's the way it usually is.
Amen.
The parents is usually the problem that hinders the kid from going on, because the kids try to pin the parents against the church and the pastor and the youth pastor. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to have these things coming at you, and you're going to have these things that's going to hurt your wife. And your wife, she's in this, when we're talking to him, asking him, she's in this thing just as much as he is. Because, you know, she's going to get talked about. I hope nobody in this church talked about her.
Amen.
I hope no woman gets around and no young girls start running her down. I hope that never happens. But sometimes it can.
Amen.
And sometimes get vicious. And they'll say stuff. I pray we never have that. I pray that never goes on. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life. I've said this before. You got to be crazy to go into the ministry. You got to be crazy. Or call of God. If you think it's going to be a sweet time, just get through things. I hope it is for you, but it ain't always that way. You're going to struggle. You're going to have all kinds of struggles. You're going to have struggles financially. You're going to have spiritual struggles. You're going to have mental struggles. I mean, there's things that's going to happen in your family and your kids, and especially when you have children, and when you start having children come along, and then trying to raise your children for the Lord, and then you got bad examples of other people, other kids, and then your kids getting doing all. Man, we've been through all that mess. It says, endure hardness. No man at worth entangle himself in the affairs of this life. They may please him. The whole thing comes down is who you're trying to please. You got to please him. Please him who have chosen you to be a soldier. This pastoring thing is being a soldier. I think a good thing, like Tyler's in the military. I told Tyler today, I said, you know what? He's more serious now that I've talking to him. Mm-hmm. Tyler is more focused.
Amen.
Since he's been in the military. He's more focused. Before he went, he was like this goofy, like a young teenager. Yeah, man, I'm cool, baby. I'm doing all, you know. And but now it's different. I can look into his eyes. Why? Training.
Amen. Amen.
I'm proud of him.
Amen.
I'm proud of him.
Amen.
And what happens is, in the ministry, though, you're going to face some problems. And when you get married, then you're going to get called out. You're going to get things that comes up. And it could hurt you. It could hurt your family. And a man that's also, he says, if a man strive for the mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. You got to do it the right way. And it says, the husband that laboreth must be partakers of the fruit. The Bible tells us that you shouldn't, as a soldier, not get entangled in the affairs of this life. Now, every man, when you get married, you want a house for your wife. I'm sure Michael Shane's got a heart that he wants a house for his wife.
Amen.
He wants nice things for his family. He wants those things. I mean, it's in all of us. There's not a man in this room that don't want to have nice things for your wife, nice car for her to drive, and a nice house to live in, a nice bed to sleep in. You want those things. And he's going to, but the Bible tells us, don't be entangled with things. Don't let them things get a hold of you. I know a lot of preachers has quit the ministry. There was a preacher up here in Elkton that was pastor. Now he's got frustrated. Every time I talked to him, they would, you know, he was telling me this, telling me that, and I tried to talk him out of leaving. and he left. Now all he's doing now, he's living in Florida just fishing all the time, trying to make money. The ministry is tough. It's hard. And pastoring and youth pastor, assistant pastor, it's tough things that happen. You got people going on, and the Bible tells us, it says that you're gonna face these obstacles. You're going to face stuff in your life, and especially as a minister of Jesus Christ. So you got to make up your mind. You got to get mentally strong. You got to get mentally strong. There's times I just wanted to scream. Man, I'm telling you, I felt like the pressure was so heavy that I felt like I prayed God that he would never have to go through that. Being a youth pastor, like I said, is tough. Being an assistant pastor, usually assistant pastor, if he's doing his job, he's in the ministry right shoulder to shoulder. But if he's not, then he's just floating along. And I know God's got great things for my brother. And I can preach on a lot of things about being a good soldier, just for time's sake. But I want to encourage him to endure hardness. And there's going to be times where you don't want to go out. You know, times you don't want to get up. There's times you ain't going to want to pray. There's going to be times where you don't want to read your Bible.
Right,
there's going to be times, I'm just being honest. There's going to be times that things that happen where you think, man, what's wrong with those people? What's wrong with them? I've had pastors tell me I hate my people. I've had pastors tell me that. I said, well, you don't need to be in the ministry then.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, you're supposed to love your people. Even the way they are. Jack Patterson always gets up here and says, love them where they're at. I mean, you think, well, man, wouldn't they change position once in a while?
Amen.
But you got to love people. And if you're wanting to get into ministry and you don't love people, you better stay out. Stay out. We see enough failures. If a man also strive for the mastery, yet he is not crowned. Notice that crown. There's a crown for a pastor, a youth pastor, or somebody that cares about people. There's a crown. And the Bible says he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. And boy, I tell you what, God's looking for some men to be good stewards. He's looking for some men to be soldiers. He's looking for some women. We got soldiers in our church, women. We got women in this church that's a lot stronger than a lot of men that's in this church. We got women, and they're soldiers. I count them as a fellow soldier.
Amen.
I really do.
Amen.
I thank God for them. I consider my wife as a soldier with me. I consider a lot of these women in this church that's with their husbands serving God. They're fellow soldiers. So the ministry is going to be tough. And he's already been through two years. And I'm sure he could tell you some stories. He could tell you some things. And he's come to me many times and talked to me and asked me about different things. We'll discuss things, and I'll tell them, just be patient. Be patient. That's why the next verse, look at that, says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, when I suffered trouble as an evildoer, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even on the bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endured all things for the elect's sake, that they may have also obtained salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. It's faithful saying, if we believe that he be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them. See that charge? Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. He says, but to the subverting of the hearer. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A man that's called to ministry ought to be studying to show himself approved to God.
Amen.
And it says, don't strive about words and that's no profit. He said, but shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase on the more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver,
but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. The master's looking to use us. I want to be meet for the master's use, and I want Michael Shane to be meet for the master's use. Prepare unto every good work. Flee off also youthful lust. It's telling the young man, he said, Paul saying, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions void, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. There's times where I wanted to hurt somebody. There's times where I wanted to just hurt them. But the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. There's where a lot of guys will lose it. They lose their patience. You got to have patience with people. And it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. He was talking about kids growing up, living like that. We had these little kids come to Sunday school. They act up, and we try to be patient with them. The Sunday school teachers are patient. Michael Shane's going to have the same thing. You got to be patient with them. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, Prevenger, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will him at his will. So there's people that the devil's got control of them, and the devil can take them anytime. And God's instructing, and Paul's instructing Timothy, be patient, pray, study. Those things that as a preacher we have to do. Those things sometimes are not convenient. It takes time away from your family. I apologized to my son Joshua because he was bitter. He was bitter at me for not taking the time when he was little and doing things with him because I was involved in church and doing things for the church and working, trying to pay the bills, working a job, running back and forth to D.C. and everything. And he said, I didn't take him to baseball. I didn't have time. I got on my knees and asked him, forgive me. Because that's what he was using, why he wouldn't serve God. He picked me up and said, Daddy, don't you apologize to me. Amen. You did what was right.
Amen.
And I hugged him. I said, boy, I'm sorry. God used that to help him. And I was sorry. I spent more time with Samson and Ruth as they were growing up because I wasn't pastoring then. But then the other kids came along. And you get involved. As you have to have a balance in the ministry. Your first ministry is your family. Amen. It's your family. Men, yeah, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Ladies, be obedient to your husbands.
Amen.
Love them.
It's Bible.
Yeah. We want to make it through this life. I want him and his family to make it through this life serving Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And one day at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll be able to stand up and say, and have the Lord come by as we stand at attention. Have him come by and say, well done.
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That'd be a real blessing for Faith Baptist Church.
Amen.
I believe we're picking a good man.
Yep.
We've got other good men in here. We've got a lot of good men in here. Matter of fact, good women too.
Amen.
Thank God for them. But let's pray over him right now. Let's do that. Brother Michael Shane, if you come right up here in the front. We'll have all the trustees and deacons come over and lay hands on you. The Bible says, hey, lay hands suddenly on no man, but we're not laying hands suddenly on him because we know him. We know what he believes. So if you want to get right over here and let these guys pray over you. I'm going to ask Brother Jim, Brother John, all of you guys, just pray. We'll pray. Any of you other men want to come, you can come up. Any of you other men want to come, you can come. We'll pray. Brother John, you want to start us out?
Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to meet here tonight. Lord, and Stash, that you be with Michael Shane, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, pray that you help him and give him the desire of his hearts, Lord. But at the same time, Lord, just keep him doing your will. And Lord, I just pray that he would continually keep you first.
Amen.
Lord, and his family.
Yes.
And Lord, eventually, as he expands his family, and Lord, I just pray that you would help him to be able to keep you first, keep his family first, and you, and just keep things in life in order, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I know that if he keeps things in his life in order, things in his ministry should be in order, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And I just pray that you would be with him, and Lord, just bless him.
Yes, God.
And just help him to give him the desires of his heart, Lord, and just let things go well for him, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for tonight, Lord. I just thank you for my brother, Michael Shane, God.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I know he loves his church, Lord. I know he loves his wife, God, and his family, Lord. I know he loves you, Lord. I know he needs to focus his love on you the most, God. It'll trickle down to everything else, God. Please, I ask you just to protect him. Remember man, devil, and beast out there, God.
Amen. Amen.
I believe in this next step he's taking, this next journey, Lord, he's going to see more negative things, Lord, and have some hurdles in his way and some things, God. It just seems how it works, Lord. I ask you, please, to protect him. Protect his wife, God. Please just help him, Lord, in the decisions he has to make, God. Help him never take it personal, Lord, and realize it's not him that people hate, God. It's Jesus Christ, Lord.
Yes.
His position, Lord, and him moving up, Lord, is going to be an issue for others, Lord, and they're in their flesh, God. I ask you, please, just to help them to get right and do right. Please protect Michael Shane, as my pastor's always taught, to have mercy and grace and love, and never take it personal. They're not sinning against him. They're sinning against Jesus Christ, Lord. Please, Lord, I know he's reading his Bible, God. He's not just reading a proverb a day, Lord. He's reading more. He's studying,
amen,
God.
Amen.
I know he's done devotions, Lord, and he studied with other couples and stuff and wanted to grow, Lord. So I ask you, please, to continue to help him and his wife grow. Help him to pass it down to the teenagers, Lord, and prick their hearts, Lord. And please, God, help the teens, God, and help their parents, God. Just there's so many things going on behind the scenes, Lord. Please help people just to live right in this church, God. We're supposed to be a family.
Amen.
But you can't even tell anybody something's wrong or they shouldn't do that because they get their feelings hurt, God. Help us to love your law, God, where nothing will offend us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Please be my brother Michael Shane, Lord, and Brittany, Lord. And it's not all doom and gloom, Lord. There's going to be the best times of our life ahead of us.
Amen.
If you tarry, God, there's going to be some heartache, but so many positive and exciting things, God. I ask you, please, just protect him. Protect my sister Brittany, Lord. Help them both continue to grow, Lord. I feel they can answer any question they ever need to, Lord, about Scripture, where they're at, Lord. But I know they want to grow more and get closer to you, Lord. It's not just about the knowledge in the head. It's about the heart and how you live it and how you apply it, God. So please, just be with them. Bless their family. Bless the ministry. Bless his church. And just thank you for our pastor and this opportunity. Again, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father God, thank you for being so good.
Amen.
God, thank you for what you've done in Michael Shane's life. God, I pray that you just give him the wisdom that he might need going forward, God.
Amen.
You said you'd give it freely, God, if any man would ask it. And I pray just continue to go to you when he has time to need, God. Thank you for how you've dealt with him throughout his years as a child,
Amen.
God.
Amen.
How you've kept him into the church, God, and you've protected him, God, and brought him to this point. Thank you for doing that in his life, God. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. I thank you for him being a part of this church.
Amen.
Being a part of this family.
Amen. Amen.
I've just been so good. And I just want to see him continue to be blessed by you and continue to move forward, God. I see him go through trials. I see him come out on the other end, God, still serving you.
Amen.
God, I pray that you just give him more grace and mercy, God. I just pray that you just continue to keep fighting the good fight. God, I pray you just have strength in times of need, God.
Yes.
I pray you strengthen his wife and his future family, God. And give him what he needs, God, to continue to serve you and work for you, God. Because I know you would. And you lay before him whatever he might need, God, and it's there for the taking, God. And I pray you just continue to stay close to you, stay at your feet, God, and just come to you whenever he needs you, God. And he'll learn that there's nowhere else to turn to but to you, God.
Amen.
You have all the answers, and you have everything that he'll need, God. And I pray you just put his focus on you, wherever life might take him, wherever mission you have for him. Now just stay close to you, stay true to you, God. I thank you for my brother, God.
Yeah.
Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to thank you again for Michael Shane, Lord. It's been a blessing to be able to watch him to grow up and to see where the man that he's become, Lord. And
amen.
Lord, we just ask you to just to continue to work with him and just help him to keep focused on you, Lord. And, I know all the things that he's been through in his life, the ups and the downs, and there's been a lot of downs, I know, in his life, Lord, but it's all preparing for this point, Lord.
Amen.
And I know this is just another stepping stone in his life, Lord, and I have no idea where you're going to take him, or what kind of direction you're going to send him in, Lord. But I know as long as he keeps his eyes focused on you, he'll follow you, Lord, and he'll do the right thing, Lord. And as a church, Lord, I ask you just to help us to not be a stumbling block to him.
Amen.
To help him through this ministry, Lord.
That's
as long
good.
As he's
Amen.
Going to stay here at Faith Baptist Church, Lord, help us to help him to do the job that he needs to do. And please, again, I want to ask that you watch over him and his family, Lord. Bless him and his wife, Lord. Bless them in a mighty way. And help them to use this to get stronger and closer to each other, Lord. And I know they'll make a great team for you.
Amen.
And we love them, Lord. And just, we ask just to watch over them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, it's amazing the things that you've done in the life of the folks in this church.
Amen.
God, I thank you for my brother here, Mike Machine. God, I know he's been through a lot. And God, I know that he's persevered. And I know he's only done it with your help. And he knows that himself, God. And I know that he knows that you're going to be there for him whenever things get rough. God, I thank you for giving him a wife, God, that can help him as he goes through this ministry. Lord, I just thank you, God, for his demeanor, God, his adult ways, God, that he's not just a child anymore, but he's a man, God. And he's not only a man, but he's your man.
Amen.
And God, I pray you just keep your hedge of protection around him and his family. And Lord, help him to grow even bigger than he ever imagined he could be.
Amen.
And God, help him to just be faithful. And God, I know he will be.
Amen.
And Lord, I pray the team would be acceptable to what he has to teach them, God.
Amen.
Lord, we all seem to know it all, God, but sometimes we need to listen to somebody that's over.
Amen.
And God, I know that you put this man right here, Michael Sheen, Morseburg, over that group of kids. And God, I know you have a reason for it. And Lord, I just love you for that. And I love this young man and his family. Help him, God.
Yes.
We'll thank and praise you for all you've done in his life, what you're doing right this minute, and God, what we know you're going to do in the future. Help him, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
My Father, thank you again for my brother's prayer. Amen. Lord, I agree with everything they've said. Lord, I pray, God, you just please give my brother wisdom above his age, and God, how to handle things, how to deal with things. And Lord, I know he's excited about what you're going to do in his life, his wife. I pray you prepare his wife as well. And God, we should be praying over her too, but I pray, God, you know, Lord, God, I pray you just touch her, and Father, use them, and Father, just keep them safe, and God, help their hearts and minds be closer to you, God, putting you first in their life, in their marriage life, their every walk of life.
Amen. Amen.
Lord,
yes.
Let everything be first, Jesus Christ first. And Lord, thank you for young men wanting to surrender their lives for the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, God, keep your hand upon him. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you ladies maybe Wednesday night get together and pray with Brittany. If you want to do it now, you can. My wife and ladies can do that. You want to do that right now, help yourself. But why don't we wait till Wednesday night? We can do that Wednesday night. Let's do it Wednesday night. The ladies can get together with her and pray with her over here. But that's ordination, and usually ordinations can go a lot longer. We could have gone a lot longer, but for the sake of folks trying to get home and go to work tomorrow morning and all that, we wanted to give you the briefer version of it. Brother Bilbo told me that when they ordained him, they drilled him for 8 hours.